I'm aware that we're probably running out of time in broadcasting terms, maybe in world terms as well, I don't know. But I've got two more questions. One was, you brought up the theme of forgiveness, Joe, but is there an overwhelming theme that's hit you, occurred to you whilst you've been here in the UK? What's been coming up again and again?
I suppose the thing that has hit me most is that there are so many people adrift looking for something more, whether you want to call it God, spirituality. They're looking for this. And what the churches are providing is not meeting that need. Whether they are, especially in particular, the evangelical, the charismatic type churches. So, you know, for every Anglican parish or every Anglican church that closes in the UK, three little charismatic communities pop up.
Yes.
And they're flashy and they're glitzy and they, you know, claim to be able to offer all kinds of things that just don't exist. And people are leaving these communities. It's a hemorrhaging.
Yes.
So I would say this hunger for God or hunger for transcendence that's not religious, that's really not about religion, that's about authentic maturity, humanity. It's about love.
Yeah.
People want to know how to love. How do we love? How can I forgive someone that hates me? How do I do that? How do I love someone that doesn't love me? How do I do that?
Yeah.
Where do I find the power and the resources to do that inside? You know, this is what I've seen.
It's lovely to hear that, and also awful to hear that, isn't it? How awful it is that we are asking those questions, but how lovely it is that people are actually asking them and aren't completely lost, and the bridges haven't been entirely burned.
No, in fact, the British made the right choice. To abandon Christianity altogether, to become atheist, because you have to say no to your idols before you can really say yes to the living God.
Are we on like a 12th step out of Christianity then?
In a sense, you are.
Well, let's leave that there. Yeah. Okay, all right. There was another question. It was like, what on earth is going on in your country at the moment? But I think we've touched on that, haven't we, to some extent?
Yeah. What we're seeing is something that's been brewing for a long, long time
okay.
in the United States since the 1950s.
Yes.
And that is that we want to present ourselves, our face to the world one way.
Mm-hmm.
We want to present ourselves as righteous and just and, you know, how far we've come as a democratic culture. But the real side, the ugly side, the underbelly, is that we are racist, we are misogynist, we are homophobic. We are a people that live in fear in the United States. We're so afraid of someone walking into our houses, raping our wives, pointing a gun at us, stealing our jewels. I mean, because what we've done in America is we have turned net worth into self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
The more we own, the more we possess, the more we feel valuable, the more people are looking at us and praising us and wishing they were us. Again, René Girard's mimetic theory. And so what's happened now is that we are living in absolute terror of losing this, because if we lose, you know, our home, our possessions, if we lose our livelihoods, our jobs, we're going to lose our self-worth.
Yeah.
And because our self-worth...
Well, that's terrifying, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes. Rather than our self-worth being grounded in a God that absolutely loves us unconditionally and
yeah.
freely and beautifully, our self-worth is tied into our possessions.
Yes.
And that's what's happening. And so we're... Yeah, it's a strange time to be an American. It's difficult. I would have to say the political process right now is more of a circus than anything else.
Is it blowing itself up, eating itself up? Is that where we're at?
It is doing that right now. And nationalism is on its way out. The nation state
yes.
is on its way out.
Yeah.
What we'll see in the future, I have no idea. But before we see that, there will be a clash of nation states.
Okay.
And it will not be pretty.
Right.
And we're just going to hope that that we can potentially either convert as a species to nonviolence and peace.
So it does look like then that the human needs that brink.
We do.
We need to be pushed to the edge
That's
to find
right.
our new
That's
ways
right.
of expressing and our love and so on.
That's right.
Why don't we just learn it simply and gradually?
Well, you know, there's a question for another day.
I need
day.
To go to a college to answer that one, won't I?
That's right.
Okay, all right. So final question then. You strike me as an activist. You're a radical Christian.
I'm not an activist.
You're not an
no,
activist.
No, I'm a thinker.
Okay.
I leave the activism to those that, A, have the energy. If I was a younger man, maybe. But I'm more interested in rethinking the theological, philosophical, historical kinds of questions.
Well, that's honest and generous, I think, because I think you've bothered to get on an aeroplane and come and talk to us. That, to me, is more activist than most people I meet.
Yeah, I'm leery of protest marches in the States because they tend to get co-opted by a few violent radicals or government agents that infiltrate them and start violence to create kind of false flag.
We're familiar with that as well.
So I stay away from those.
But where that question was heading is as a practical person, then, would you take that a practicivist?
Yeah.
Do you express that on a daily basis? Because that, for a lot of people, is all that's wrong with Christianity: pontification. How do you, as a man, on a daily basis, put that into practice? And how would you suggest other people do that? Because that's what we want, isn't it? Is we want to know how.
Well, as a man, I have a wife and three daughters and two granddaughters, and so I must learn to listen to their voices and not assume my white male voice is superior to theirs.
Yeah.
I have.
Well, that's a full-time job.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Right, that's your whole day.
Hey, Joe knows, he's got two
daughters. Same here. I've got three daughters,
right? It's about learning to walk down the street and not cross the street because there's a black man coming toward me who automatically has a gun and is a drug addict and wants to rob me, you know, because that's how they are. It's learning to get on a tube train here in London and seeing a Muslim and not go, oh, my God, do they have a bomb? Is there a bomb in that pack? You know, it's learning to say these negative thoughts are not real. Mm-hmm. And these are all my brothers and sisters. And what are they thinking when they see me walking down the street? There's another white male colonialist come to dominate my world. You know? I hope they're not thinking that, but I can imagine that they could.
Well, we're encouraged to, aren't we? Let's face it.
And I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
I want to be something other than that. I want to smile at people I meet.
Yeah.
I love smiling at people. You get different reactions.
You don't
get
arrested yet for that.
Yeah, not yet.
So keep on on with that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy
have
you here. It's a sort of magic that Joe here creates.
Joe is wonderful. Love Joe. We come wherever Joe is, we'll be there.
How on earth is it that we would have come together like this on a random Wednesday morning to talk about things we've talked about? So I thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Can I leave you both of you, with a last word, as is the way? This is like thought for the day.
Well, Joe, you do that, and then I'll talk about the song we'll hear.
I think for me, the last few years have taught me about so much of my journey in my life was about how do I attain the transcendent heights of the divine.
Yes, of course.
And in meeting with people like Michael, and meeting you as well, Carl, I've learned what it means to be human and about grounding myself in our humanity and what it means to be truly human in light of who Jesus is. And how I might live a life of unconditionality, you know, where I'm not always looking for something back from someone,
right,
where I might be able to give, like Michael said, and love without expecting anything back, but simply because the beauty of love is that it's love. So I think for me, this has been my massive journey, which I'm still learning, and my wife and my twin bro and my kids are teaching me this. But that's been the exciting part of the journey for me.
I couldn't have wished for a better thought for the day than that. There's a thought for life, isn't there, really? Mm. Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you for bringing Michael. So over to you. This might be a good way to conclude our show, might it not?
So this song is by an artist from the 1960s in Detroit. He produced two albums. His name is Rodriguez. What happens to him? There are plenty of rumors. But a few years ago, a documentary team went to South Africa and discovered that these two albums that Rodriguez produced in the 60s had an enormous impact on the anti-apartheid younger generation. It liberated them. It helped them to feel like they could be free from this kind of Calvinist hegemony that had dominated the religious, cultural, political sphere. This song plays an important track in the documentary, Searching for Sugar Man. It's titled I Wonder. And so the last thought of the day is I would ask your listeners and you, Carl, I wonder what a world of peace would really look like. I wonder what it would look like if brothers and sisters forgave each other 70 times 7. I wonder what genuine love would look like if we expressed it across all the boundaries, broke down all the walls, tore down all the fences. I wonder what this life could be if we followed Jesus of Nazareth.